Has someone please an empty page of a free page? Yeah. No, you will need it. It's very no. There's so many much paper is there. You have only this. So, there is, yes, okay. I wanted to say, you are poor in paper. No, I'm not, I have my... Please, just 1 second, life is just so intense. I have a very, very good plan, what I wish to share with you, and I just need... 2 more minutes. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Ja, 27. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Who was Igor Stravinsky? Anyone knows? A composer from Russia. What type of music? Classical music? He's a big name, isn't it? He said, music is well or better able to praise him, that means God, than the building of a church with all its decoration. Music is the church's greatest ornamentation, he said. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm sorry, I didn't notice you coming in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah. So I did something unusual. I prepared my lecture. I had to prepare my lecture. So such a busy time, I think, for both of us. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Good morning. Thank you all for coming to this morning class. I hope it will be a class which will give you a special insight. I want to talk on three subjects. That is, how the holy name actually can transform an individual, what we mean by this, what is happening. Then I want to talk on the language of the instruments, and finally give a saint as an example who is not in our tradition, or who is but indirectly connected. It's the great Kirtaniya Tukaram from Maharashtra, who is said to have been initiated by Shishi Gonitai, who appeared to him in a vision, in a spurti, and gave him the seed of the Kirtan Bhava. These are the three subjects. Now we need to see, is there a verse you would, which is on the blackboard? Is this the verse which we chant this morning? Yeah, it is. Can you please tell me? I can't read it. 5:15:11. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Chandamsi akamasya Jayasya Kama Duduhur Ajarur Ato Balim Naripa Radyanchita Yodhi Dharmena Vipra Yadashishan Shashtam Angsan Paretya Chandam Syakamasya Chayasya Kaman Duduhu Ajarur Ato Balim Ripa Pradyanchita Yuddhi Dharmena Vipra Radyanchita Yuddhi Dharme, Yada Shishang Shashtam Angsang Paretya. Chandam Syakamasya Chayasya Kamam. Duduhu Ajaduato Balim Ripa. Radyanchita Yuddhi Dharmena Vipra Yada Shishang Shashtam Angsam Paretya Yes, please, someone else.
Chitamsya Kamasya Chayasya Kama Yeah. chita yute dharmena vipra.
Dharmena chita yute dharmena vipra.
Yada shisham shastam asam saparitaya.
Yada shisham shastam asam saparitaya.
Yeah. Maybe a Mataji feels encouraged. Not really. Okay. No problem. Chandang Si. All the different parts of the Vedas. Akamasya. Of one who has no desire for personal sense gratification. Cha, also, yasya, whose, kaman, all desirables, duduhu, yielded, ajaru, offered, ato, thus, balim, presentation, nripaha, all the kings. Padyanchitaha, being satisfied by his fighting in opposition. Yudhi, in the war. Damena, by religious principles. Vipraha, all the brahmanas. Yada, when. Ashisham, of blessings. Shashtamangsam, one-sixth. Paretya, in the next life. Wow, this is a very important text. Yeah. Translation. Although King Gaya had no personal desire for sense gratification, all his desires were fulfilled by virtue of his performance of Vedic rituals. All the kings with whom Maharaj Gaya had to fight were forced to fight on religious principles. They were very satisfied with his fighting, and they would present all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, all the brahmanas in his kingdom were very satisfied with King Gaya's munificent charities. Consequently, the brahmanas contributed a sixth of their pious activities for King Gaya's benefit in the next life. Mm-hmm. There are three informations of in this verse. This is Raja Rishi, King Gaya, with great moral and ethical principles, which were manifested in his religious performances, his rituals he was doing regularly. The Vedic rites, which are basically yagya, or sacrifice, one way or another. Even when he, in fighting, he brought his opponents to agree, okay, we will now do our dharma as kshatriyas, we will fight, but we will only do this on religious principles, like there are certain principles to stop at a time when this in the evening. They are negotiated before each battle. The Vedic kings would get together and say, "Okay, these are our principle. If someone is hurt in the fight, no, he will not be attacked any longer. When someone surrenders at the beginning of the fight, okay, no need to fight, you are stronger, then there will be no aggression towards that person. And other things like you never attack an enemy who has a back to you. And things like in the evening they would dine together to have a good association amongst themselves, you know, even the enemies. Let's have good association. We fight during the day, but it's not so important. We want to either rise to the heavenly planets, so we must be righteous. And he said, these kings with whom he fought were very satisfied with his fighting, and they would present all kinds of gifts to him. And then the third information is, all the brahmanas in his kingdom were very satisfied with King Gaya, and they gave them 1/6 part, Hare Krishna, of their own merits or security which they had earned through pious activities. Good. As a Kshatriya or emperor, Maharaj Gaya sometimes had to fight with subordinate kings to maintain his government. But the subordinate kings were not dissatisfied with him because they knew that he fought for religious principles. Consequently, they accepted their subordination and offered all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, the brahmanas who performed Vedic rituals were so satisfied with the king that they very readily agreed to part with the sixth, how do we say this?
One sixth
of their pious activities for his benefit in the next life. Thus the brahmanas and kshatriyas were all satisfied with Maharaj Gaya because of his proper administration. In other words, Maharaj Gaya satisfied the kshatriya kings by his fighting and satisfied the brahmanas by his charities. The vaishyas were also encouraged by kind words and affectionate dealings, and due to Maharaj Gaya's constant sacrifices, the Shudras were satisfied by sumptuous food and charity. In this way, Maharaj Gaya kept all the citizens very satisfied. When Brahmanas and saintly persons are honored, they part with their pious activities, giving them to those who honor them and render them service. Therefore stated in Bhagavad Gita, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. One should try to approach a spiritual master submissively and render service unto him. Now this is an information which is important for us as practicing Vaishnavas. When the brahmanas and saintly persons are honored, they part with their pious activities, giving them to those who honor them and render them service. Although this might embarrass our dear Danuda Maharaj, I have to say this as an illustration. Danuda Maharaj told me that he was so satisfied with the way you all are receiving him and taking care of showing your hospitality, I think that is the best way to express it, that he felt moved in his heart. I know Danuda Maharaj since maybe 10 years or so, or longer, it's difficult to count, and I know he is trembling with affection for you all, and that means he will part with some of his great spiritual merits and give them to you who honor him and render service to him. Therefore I don't look at anyone at the moment because he might look at me with fiery eyes and stop me by his brahminical tejas. So I look that he can't look in my eyes and I can't look in his eyes. But what I want to say is, I want to extract a principle from this. my dear devotees, if you honor and serve saintly persons, not just your spiritual master, saintly persons, sadhus, everyone, then they will give you blessings. And by the power of blessings, your advancement will go. This is what we hear in this verse. It's a very, I feel, it's a different concept than what we usually know in our life. We think our advancement in our life is dependent, solely dependent on our skills, our dexterity, our intelligence. But here we get a total different picture. No, you honor and render service to saintly persons. And then, zhoop, everything will be taken care of. It's an interesting concept. And I think every one of you should take a minute to think in their lives how they have experienced this already. Do you have an experience of this, Nita Jiva? Irena? No? Yes? Siddheshwari? Amala Harinam? When you serve your exalted spiritual master, whoops, life is different. Life is different. We are blessed. Hare Krishna. We all have an experience. When we serve Prabhupada, Komarava, isn't it? When we, it requires, we have to think like this. Let me do this seva, and then some blessing comes. Sankarshan. Isn't it? You have some experience like this? It is so true. I think each one of us can go and think of this and make a firm commitment in the heart. I will do service. And I will honor sadhus. You know, and not just one. This is a principle. And then everything will be easy. I can tell you a secret. Listen very carefully. If you apply this here in this yatra in Zagreb, let us serve the devotees. In three words, community of care. You will see mystical wonders in your life. What's different? I feel so different. The atmosphere is so entirely different. Please remember what you heard on Monday, I don't know the date, summer, 21st of
June.
I thought we are in the winter. And apply it for your own profit. Yes. So, this is the Bhagavatam text. Now let us sing Jai Radha Madhava. We forgot to sing, right? Anyways, today is festival day and it's a cool day. We are not so much heat, you know. But I know some of you have to go to work, so we will. This is the standard we have to sing. So we just read about a pious king who keeps the Vedic rituals. We keep the ISKCON ritual here. Jai Radha Madhava. What is the right? Not too high, please. Jai Radha Madhava. Kunya Bihani. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha
Shri Varada Ji. Pijana Vallabha Kiri Varada Ji. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Kunya Bihari Radha Kunya Bihari Radhe.
Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Parabara Jagacharya Astutu Tatasi Simaristi Vaingare Silave Charan Aravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Haribo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Vishnu Vinaya Gatnastaya Bhutaya Gatmagati Adhanastaya Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Vakti Vedanta Sami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vaskajane Zadanine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare My dear devotees, we always say that the transformation of the heart is the most important project of the Vedic scriptures. This is a statement from the second canto, which you find in Srila Prabhupada's purport. And therefore, we have a lot of lectures talking about this subject matter, how our heart can be purified more and changed. Now, the way in which this is affected in this age is, I know that you know this, by chanting the holy names. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 8, in the verses 26 to 30, you find the following effects, which are all signs of transformations described. The first thing is that the chanting destroys sinful reactions. I think all of us feel sometimes severely limited. We go back to the same thought patterns and behavior patterns, and we more or less sometimes are sitting in a corner in our apartment or in wherever we live and say, why can't I just change? Why do I always run myself into the same situation of discontent and dissatisfaction? It is partly because of karma, that is, reactions to our previous activities, which are strongly conditioning us and make us the way we are, a little bit reserved, a little bit unable to show our real intent. Things like this. I think you know what it means to be a conditioned soul, and you have struggled with this at times. I've just received an email from devotees in Russia who spread Krishna consciousness through an institute of applied psychology. That's how they call it. It's basically devotees who have professional experience in psychological therapy and counseling, and who just made a congress called the Psychology of the new times, and they invited His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj to speak on this, and he chose a subject, how Bhakti Yoga can cancel karmic effects. Because, you know, our conditionings and our mind, our way of thinking is dependent on our karma, you know, the sanskaras which are in there, the deep impressions are there because of our karma. Because of our karma we get a certain parents who educate us in a certain way, which leaves permanent impressions in our psychology. Due to our karma we meet certain people in our immediate environment, and we all know how much of it is of our immediate environment in childhood. It just permanently affects us. Huh? This is all karmic reactions which we have, which we get, and which comes to us through our environment and whatever happens there, whoever we meet, what events go there. Yes. So, the power of only one Krishna name destroys all sin. That is what Chaitanya Charitamrita says. Then, second result, second effect of the chanting is that bhakti becomes prakash. It becomes manifest in our heart, just like this example which you have heard many times. The fire becomes manifest from within the match, the shibitsa. Once we strike the match, then the fire becomes manifest. Huh? Now these two things, that our karmic reactions are taken away by the chanting, and that bhakti becomes prakash in our heart, that is the root cause of transformation. What it means when your heart is no longer so hard, you know, so hard, when your heart is no longer so hard by karmic reactions, and if bhakti, some first class bhakti comes in there, that these two things will generate the transformation. At an exalted state, perspiration, trembling, throbbing of the heart, faltering of the voice, and tears in the eyes. Yeah? But even at the beginning state of Krishna consciousness, when your heart becomes softened and bhakti becomes, you change. Like in the Kirtan retreat, we could see this after a few days. Wow, you were changed people. Madhurya Leela, I invite you to sit with us so that you can better concentrate. If you want, you can come. Because your mind is not in the lecture at the moment. It's somewhere else. So we hope that Madhurya Leela will also experience the transformational effects. There are, for the beginner, there are also very visible things. Prabhupada once gave one symptom, which I have applied from the beginning of my spiritual life, because I heard it very, very much in the beginning of my spiritual life. He said, you can check if you make advancement by checking your heart how many lusty desires are in there and how much you desire Krishna. He said that is a way we can check our heart. This he said to beginners, like you know, it was in the early days. And I have never stopped this process, you know. How much am I free from the desire for sense gratification, and how much do I desire Krishna? In other words, how much am I detached and how much am I attached? This is a very simple way to see if it's going on. My dear devotees, you look now at me. Oh, again, the lecture becomes so heavy. He speaks to us. I wanted a nice lecture. Don't despair. We all sometimes think of sense gratification. I also think of sense gratification. You know, yesterday we had it. We ate the best pizza in the universe. And then it was topped with, I thought it's no longer possible, until the cake came out. And that was, in Dhanuda Maharaj's word, this was illegal. It was so good, this cake. How do we say illegal in Croatian, Irena? Yeah. Or can we say something which sounds like illegal? Illegal, no. Yeah, this was illegal, no. No? Yeah. It's a new word you can take with you. Illegal, no. That one can easily remember. Yes. So, poof, my God, was this good. It was pure sense gratification. I admit it. What to do? Gaurahari was not there, so he couldn't stop me. And then Mustafa is in Sarajevo. He doesn't know about it. Then it was possible. So, we all have this. It is normal. We have a body, we react. We have a mind, we react. But, you know, Krishna is very merciful. He knows the intention. It's not that every one of you has a bhakti intention in the heart. And if sometimes a cloud passes, just don't take it so serious. It's not you, it's the mind and the body, you know, and let it pass and no problem. And don't become overly occupied with this. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavatam. He says, my devotee knows that sense gratification leads to a miserable result, but sometimes he desires it. He shouldn't worry. He should be joyful and just continue to hear about me and my katha, and no problem. It will go away after some time. So this enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, and to hear about Krishna, and to engage in Krishna's katha, that shows you have a transformation of the heart, and it works with you. And I think all of us have experienced it in good kirtans, when we hear about Krishna, when we are together with nice devotees who give some good input in our life, we become. How do you say, transformed in some ways. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita also says, without any hard labor, the repetition of birth and death is stopped, and one obtains the direct service of Krishna in pure love of God as a result to chanting. So, let me summarize. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna is so powerful that all transcendental riches are easily achieved. That is, annihilating our karmic reactions and the repetition of birth and death, and instilling good Krishna conscious bhava in our heart. Now, this is very important. The text goes on that if this does not happen to you, to the chanter, it is evident that the chanter commits offenses. In other words, if you see the promised results are not coming into your life, you must look a little bit at the 10 offenses, not a little bit, you must look at the 10 offenses and you must work there. At least have the intention to work there. Anandini, if you could come and sit with us, that is much easier. Oh, you have to go to your child, Edivan. Yeah, okay. So I have to hurry that you get the point. I have a good point to make. If you want, I can give you a sign when you can go. It's only 5-7 more minutes. Yes, I will give you a sign when you can go. So, okay, I don't want to stay there. This was only the introduction to what I want to say now. The most important result of chanting is it gives you your spiritual identity back, your real self. My dear devotees, this is so important. When we are on the bodily and mental platform, we are not ourselves. We are in the matrix. We are controlled by the matrix of the material universe. We are not ourselves. The transforming into a spiritual identity is the result of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the holy name will not only transform the material body. In other words, it's not that you will only cry or feel good or so on. No, but it also gives you your spiritual body, your spiritual identity. The way he expressed it is that the holy name takes you, shows you your spiritual identity, this is what you are, and then brings you to Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami has given the example of Gop Kumar, who chants in Vrindavan, you know, the Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Govinda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna Ha Shri Ashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevani Radhikesha. And then, while he does this, he all of a sudden stumbles, falls into the Yamuna. Oh, it's such a mystical language, it's so good. And then he feels he's carried somewhere, and he all of a sudden arrives at the precincts, that is before Goloka Vrindavan, and he is all enters the kingdom of God. This is how the holy name becomes your airplane and your travel guide back to the spiritual world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur followed his exalted father. And there are many statements of Prabhupada who are in this line. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur brought it to this point. He said, before I say this, because it's philosophical language, I need to bring you a little bit, your mind a little bit to that language. When I was a very young preacher, I was preaching in Wiesbaden. I remember. And I noticed in the corner was a very modern dressed girl. You have to go. No problem. Anandini. No, don't worry. Don't worry. We will make a recording and send it to you. You don't worry. You have to be a good mother. Yes. Hare Krishna. Oh. Yeah. So, there was a modern dressed girl, and I could see, you know, like a preacher sees when this person was on a very high level in her spiritual evolution. You can just see this. There are some people who have made a lot of work in their past life. You can just see it. So she was just watching me very intently, and I thought, my God, I think she will see that I'm not very advanced, you know, and so on. She was very modernly dressed. It was really a girl from the Wiesbaden party scene. If you know the Wiesbaden party scene, no need to know. It's all very rich people. But I could see there was inside a very pure, a soul crying for Krishna. So I knew after the lecture I wanted to go and I always go to a few people who I know listened very carefully. But I knew I better don't go to this person because it's too early. She is in another world right now, and you know, all this illicit sex, money, and all of this. And I better not go, and she would just run away, or I'm too strange with my dhoti for it's she could barely survive the atmosphere. But then I get a postcard, and I have kept this postcard, and it's the only postcard up till now which I have kept. And in this postcard, it still moves me when I think of this postcard. I only have one question to you. Do you know who you are? And can you help me to find who I am? It's the only question. You are so and so. Can even tell you the name. Tanya was her name. Like a Yugoslavian name. She is German like anything, but so do I know who I am, and can I help her? I had to respond this letter, and I said, I do know something of who I am. I know I'm an eternal soul. I have faith in this. By the mercy of my spiritual master, he has taught me this, and he has taught me a certain sadhana, and I see if I keep to this practice, I will know concretely who I am, what is my identity. Now I know the beginning of it, you know. I'm also getting to know myself. But I said, these are complicated subjects. If you want, we can discuss about it next time I come to Wiesbaden and gave her the date. Because you have to be very careful when you meet people like this, who you see are boiling inside. You have to really be careful. They are very, very impulsive. So I want to conclude a long story. This person lives now in a little village in Vrindavan and only worships from morning to evening the holy name and worships her deities, because she only has this one question: who am I? No other question. Everything else is solved. So it was a long journey which we took, a long journey where it's a very strong personality. Oof, you can't believe what a strong mind. Germans have already strong mind, but that is Hare Krishna. A long journey, not an easy journey, but finally I could convince her, chant Hare Krishna and you will find it out. And she believes it because it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer who she is to her. So this point, how the holy name helps you to find back your spiritual identity, is expressed beautifully by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Remember, we talk on transformation, huh? Only the holy name reveals the spiritual form of the living being and then causes the living being to be attracted to Krishna's form. Only the holy name reveals the spiritual qualities of the living being and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's qualities. Only the holy name reveals the spiritual activities of the living being and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's pastimes. And now listen to this. Now it gets really very realized. By service to the holy name, we do not only mean the chanting of the holy name. It also includes the other duties of the chanter. Huh? The whole sadhana, whole serving the devotees, following your da, following what you're meant to do. If we serve the holy name in body, mind and soul, then the direction of that service spontaneously manifests like the sun in the clear sky of the chanter's heart. What is meant here, what we hear here, if we become servants of the holy name, a sun begins to arise in the clear sky of the heart. Do you know that in yogic language that we have a sky in the heart? It's a whole world in the heart. And in that world, which is now a little dark, the holy name will rise and with its light show us who we are, what are our qualities, and what are our activities in service. That means it reveals to us our spiritual form and our spiritual activities. That is what is explained in this. So, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cautioned the chanter, do not preoccupied with the end result of chanting, like, where's my swarup, where's my original form, where are my original qualities, where. Rather, chant the Krishna's name constantly with patience and forbearance. Dhanuda Swami, can you please help us? We are from English, we cannot speak English. Forbearance, what is that?
Like to tolerate.
Like to tolerate, acha. We must be tolerant. The Lord will surely sit not silently and do nothing. So when you chant, no, the Lord will not just sit there and do nothing. Gaurahari will certainly reward every petitioner according to the nature of his practice. As you run your hands over the Japamala, think that you are touching Lord Gaurasundar's lotus feet. Hare Krishna, where's the Japamala? This is too good. It's not there, it's in one of the bags. No, this is an alarming sign. Yeah, my japa is after the japa. Where? Thank you, I'm getting no. Thank you. Did you want to steal it? Shalom se, Leila. Shalom se, shalom se. When you chant the japa, you can think, wow, I'm touching the lotus feet, I guess it's the toes, because, you know, the toes feel a little bit like that, you know. As you run your hands over the Japamala, think you are touching Lord Gaurasundar's lotus feet. That is the way you should chant. Hare Krishna. You know, this is, what you hear here is that a confidential secret of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's practice is revealed. He does, you know, how does he get this idea? Is he just speculating? No. He is doing this and he is experiencing this and he is sharing it. It comes from a letter he wrote, which is kind of confidential, but you are wonderful devotees. Why shouldn't you hear the nectar? Good. time is also there, I won't be able to speak about the message of the instruments, but I will do this evening. Now, I would like to give you now an example from which I feel we can learn so much about someone who chants. He came after Gauranga Mahaprabhu, an example of transformation. He lived between the year 1608 and 1649 in a village called Dehu, and his name is Tukaram. By his vana, he is a Shudra, but he turned into a very saintly poet. And just very briefly, a background on Tukaram. He was for some time a successful grocer. Grocer is a person who sells grains and household utensils and lentils and what you need in the household, no? Vegetables and so on. But then a terrible famine struck the area in which his village was situated. Famine means nothing grew and everyone was hunger. And he lost both his son and his first wife in the famine. They died of starvation. It was so bad. He couldn't feed them. After this tragedy, he became a poor man. He lost really the family property. He really got it, you know. And he just was so frustrated. He ran into the forest, into the temples, and he prayed, "My dear God, why have you done this to me?" He was protestful. Then, when he finally came out of this despondent period in his life, where the earthquake had just upset his whole life, he began kirtan. He only did kirtan. It was still famine. It was for 7 years, this famine in Maharashtra. Famine, how do you say famine, please? He was not hunger. There was a hunger emergency. How? Famine. Blood. So he is glad. So if Irena says it, let us follow some authority. She knows best from all of us. So glad. It was a glad. Glad sounds right. It's gladden, you know. It's the sounds perfect, all right. But you know better than me. So when he came out of this, he was where he became a kirtanier. He just developed his kirtans. Do you want to know one of his kirtans? Don't worry, I won't sing it. I don't also know how he sings it. Oh my Lord, I'm a beggar who has gone begging through 8,400,000 villages but remained starving. Who knows what are the 8,400,000 villages he has gone? The species, yes. But I remained hungry. Now I come before your door. Feed me the nectar of the holy name. And they used to sing this in kirtan. He lost himself in song and dancing in kirtan, and he lost all his bodily consciousness and became overwhelmed by bhakti, which ultimately led him to the Supreme. This is what he writes. Today is a day of bliss. It's a kirtan. Today is a day of bliss. You know, somehow they sing this, and it's not in English, so therefore let's not even try. Supreme bliss. When we recite the names of Govinda, the joy is incomparable.
Visiting the temple in Pandapur is always bliss for us. We sing, dance, clap our hands to entertain Govinda. For us devotees, every day is Deepavali. Deepavali is a festival where the people of Ayodhya lit their houses with lights to welcome Lord Ram, who had been long absent in the forest. No? That's the Deepavali festival. Welcome Lord festival. For us devotees, every day is Deepavali. Our joy is fearless, for the Lord protects us. Tukaram says, let there be no fear of birth and death. Being with the Lord is the permanent desire of all devotees. And that happens because we sing songs for Govinda. Wonderful. Tukaram was so convinced because he had personally experienced the power of Kirtan. He was a devastated man. He had lost his wife. Do you know what this does to a male ego? If he can't feed his wife and sees how he, the provider of the family, has to see that his wife and son dies from hunger? Evo, imagine, let's not imagine this. This is really intense. He was a finished man. He was a suicidal candidate. And he had seen, he started to chant, and he formed kirtan parties, and they went through the areas of the glut. Almost, yes. And they did kirtan, and everything started to come back. This is Prabhupada, when he was a little child in Calcutta, there was a famine also there. And he has described how one local Babaji arranged a big kirtan procession to the town of Calcutta. Let's sing. Let's not be hungry, let's sing. And that's how they fought the hunger catastrophe. Prabhupada later also advised this to the government of Madhya Pradesh. Yes, where Hyderabad is in Madhya Pradesh. There was also a drought. Do you know what is a drought? Yeah. And Prabhupada became so bad, nothing grew any longer, that Srila Prabhupada was approached by the government of Madhya Pradesh for help. They thought of financial help. But Prabhupada said, we will send our Sankirtan parties in the drought. Because he must have remembered the Kirtan in his youth, where that Babaji had helped the whole town of Calcutta just by Kirtan. So Tukaram was so absolutely convinced of the power of Kirtan that he criticized those who did not choose to participate in Kirtan with very critical language. He said, those who do not go to the Kirtan of Hari, says Tuka, have hands and feet which are made of wood. They don't move. You know, wood doesn't move. Nityananda Kari had to come and move this wood here in this early morning. He enthused his participants to participate with heart and soul and sob with love in Kirtan. Everything else, he says, is false. And by the way, he was very critical of those who fell asleep. He said, falling asleep at the time of Kirtan means he or she doesn't like the name because his or her mind is not pure. That's also what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. For laziness and falling asleep in Harikatha goes away when the heart is pure. To get up. Oh, and he was also very critical of those kirtan people who ask for money for the kirtan. He said, no one should ask for grain or for a cow or something to eat if he leads kirtan. He said, this is not kirtan if you sing for money. You must do kirtan for glorification of Krishna, not as a means of income. Therefore he said, do not accept food where you sing kirtan. Those who accept and offer money both fall down. According to Tukaram, any motivation for kirtan besides the desire to do glorification, in other words, any motivation for money, prestige, or even the accumulation of spiritual merit, in his words, is shameful. One eyewitness who was in Tukaram's kirtan described how it was in those kirtans. Would you like to know it? So, as Tukaram started to repeat the names of God in a loud voice, he became so overwhelmed that he interrupted his song and started to speak to the audience, moved by his feelings of love. He was so overwhelmed. And the typical kirtan of Tukaram, Pandurangam Vitalnad Hari Narayana Hari Narayana Vitalnad Ki Chai, everyone would chant. Then he would calm everything down and he started to speak and overwhelmed with feelings of love. All illusions were gone. Tuka alone remained with his Lord Vitoba, his close friend, whose name he was repeating. In other words, he came in a state where he truly was an intoxicated, God-intoxicated saint. He started to speak, then he lost it. He just felt he was together with his Lord in the kirtan. That was enough. Wonderful, isn't it? We like to hear such things. I have many more of these lifetimes. We have compiled research on kirtan in the history and so on. And we want to do more research. Now, one devotee, the disciple of Dhanada Maharaj, Akinchan Krishna Prabhu, is finding out the melodies which Gauranga Mahaprabhu sang in his kirtan. I don't know if we can sing it because it must be very, I do not know what, it will be different than our concept of music, because it's 15th century and it's ecstatic, it's Bengal, it's a lot of kirtan, but I can say, I think we will all faint when we hear it. We have reached the end. You have found a good time, Ivo, to go to your work. Yes, I know. You didn't miss anything. I'm finished. Hare Krishna. So, those of you who really have to go to work now, this is the time to go. But I will ask some questions, if there are questions in the audience. One moment. But I would like to summarize this lecture to you. We talk of transformation. Transformation is affected by kirtan in our tradition because kirtan does four things according to the scriptures, and to summarize these four things into two principles. Let's be simple, because we cannot remember so much, is it takes away what is on blocking us on our way to Krishna and to manifest our Krishna conscious life in full. It opens us for the gift of bhakti, no? Which comes in. But this will work only if we really lead a life free from offenses. No? That then it works. That's the summary. And we heard now an example of someone who was even angry with God Oh, Tukaram was wrote. He had, you know, he married a second time, and his second wife was not a believer. He had a miserable household life. You can't believe it the second time. And he even begged the Lord to help that his wife becomes normal. She was so much against the spiritual practice. My God. And then, at the very end of his life, towards the end of his life, he had the worst thing happening to him. Because he was a sutra, from a sutra vana, all the brahmanas in the area banded against him, made a council, and forbade his kirtans. They got police on their side. Kirtan was for some time not possible. You know, Tukaram had spread a kirtan movement, but the brahmanas were so envious because the people started to, they come to this mass kirtans. No wonder it was empowered by Gornitai. You know, and they really gave him a hard time. Like the Kazi gave Mahaprabhu's kirtan a hard time, who was also instigated by the brahmanas. The brahmanas were envious of Nimai. So then it came to a court case. It was said, Tukaram is unvedic. He speculates songs. His songs are forbidden from now on. And 6,000 poems which he had written. His Lebensvermächtnis. How do we say Vermächtnis? His legacy. His legacy is the English word. Legacy. How do we say legacy? Yes, something like that. Something which he left behind. Or Amrita Kelly's word sounds also right. So that was taken away by force. It was taken in the river, I forgot the name, Indu river. Not the Indus. That is not in. And it was thrown into the river. And it sank to the ground. Tukaram was devastated. His life mission, the calling which he felt by the Lord, Vitalnath and Gornitai, everything was destroyed, everything gone. He was devastated. So what did he do, this temperamentful bhakta? He went to the bank of that river and he fasted for 13 days. And just sang with tears in the eyes, "My Lord, why are you doing this to me? Second time. Why? What have I done to you?" He was really like this. And he sang songs because he was a singer. On the 13th day, all this, the manuscripts, came from the bottom of the river up. And not one line was destroyed. And that was before permanent ink marker or so. These were plant colors in which the essences from flowers were taken. It was highly dissolvable. If you by chance sweated and one drop came on your song sheet, it's gone. Everything was readable. Tukaram saw his poems. There were some people around who thought he would die after 13 days of fasting. You know, he would just sit there and cry and why. You know, he was really in another state. He was exalted. Then all of a sudden all this comes out and it comes to the bank as if some invisible hand has retrieved the pages and brought him to the bank. Then he wrote another song, and I think that's the most beautiful of his song. He said, "My Lord, with my obstinate nature, I have forced you to work a miracle. What a sinner am I?"
devotee of the Lord. He doesn't want the Lord to serve him. He wants to serve the Lord. I must find this song for you. I know the book, and I don't know if I have it in Berlin. I must tell you this song. It's so good, but that's the essence of it. I was starving. You had to keep me alive. I was protesting, thinking, are all my songs false? Do you not accept any of my songs? This is all Maya? I thought you had given me the songs to sing and the tongue to sing. And then I said here, yeah, I'm so sorry. Hare Krishna. Dobro, this is bhakti. No. It will come, my dear devotees. Let's sing and spread the singing, and it will come. Then we might always also get it one day in our heart. So, Hare Krishna, I have said what I wanted to say. What is the time now? Can someone give me an...
9:20.
What?
9:20.
Oh, that's not so bad. I mean, not so late. But we will finish here. There were two quick questions. Amala Harinam was raising his hand. And Damayanti, I think you had a question, no? Okay, was there someone else? Let's stay with Amala Harinam's question. We are now also a little tired and we want to eat, so good. Yes.
You said when you quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam that sometimes the cloud comes and the devotee should just continue to be happy and try to continue. But what if the storm comes and the tsunami?
The tsunami. And the great wave of life. Comes and sweeps you from your tongue, from your feet. Have you understood Amala Harinam's question, or should I repeat it to you? No? Yes? You are awake? You have heard his question. Yes. You spoke when the cloud comes and covers us. Cloud of material desires and illusion. But what when the tsunami comes? Very good question. I will say something now which you will not believe, but I can quote the verses from the Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, bhakti is not about sense control and about this and being good. It's about turning to Krishna and loving Krishna. When the tsunami comes and you go, my Lord, save me, my Lord. I'm at the moment a sinner and not a saint. What to do, my Lord? You'd go like this, and surely the Lord will make you righteous. It's all about this. Turning in love to Krishna. That is bhakti. Therefore you find many, many stories in the scriptures where it is said, where you find how people who are really entangled in bad and things are turning to the Lord and become glorious. Ajamil story is there in the Bhagavatam. What I heard in our movement, I don't know if this story comes from Prabhupada, but what I heard in the early days was this example that there was a brahmana and a prostitute living next to each other, and the brahmana would keep all the Vedic rules and regulations, and the prostitute didn't miss a chance to receive men. So the brahmana became so excited, so hateful of her, that he always was rolling a stone before her door whenever a new man came. So that there was a Himalaya mountain range before at the end of their life. And when it said that they left the body at the same time. He was also who would open the garden door, you know, and come in. Hopefully no one sees me going to this
to this woman, you know, this, and he would count them and roll us, make sure that the new stone would be there. They left the body at the same time, came to the gates of Vaikuntha, and the previous harlot, prostitute, was waved through, and he said, no, there's a grave mistake. It's a grave mistake. Yeah. And he wanted to go after him, and they kept him. Brahma Samhita says there are spears guarding the entrance to Vaikuntha. This is a way of saying no one can get in there who's not coming by invitation. What? Said the Brahmana. I'm the Brahmana. She's the prostitute. We know, said the Vishnu Dutas who were there. We know. You know? But she should be left outside and go back to the repeated birth and death. And I should go in. I'm the Brahmana. We know who is who. You were thinking, no, she was thinking only of Krishna, and you were thinking only of illicit sex life. And she was saying, oh, I cannot earn my money in any other way. I need to eat. And oh, I'm so sinful. Krishna, please, what to do? My profession is not exactly muchi. No, suchi. It is not so suchi. And what to do? You know, she was like this. And he was, another one. And I can imagine what they do inside. Bhakti is about the devotion of the mind. Of course, now don't go out and do all foolish things and say Krishna, Krishna. That would be a wrong interpretation of the meaning of this lecture, which was all about transformation of the heart. Remember? and so on. So when the tsunami comes, pray, do kirtan, amala harinam. You are a wonderful kirtan person with a good appreciation of kirtan. Do some service as good as you can. You know, remain humble. Yes, now I have to eat the humble pie, you know. And just go on and everything will. Svechibiti oredo. Svechibiti oredo. Good. Now we have come to the end of our presentation. Thank you very much. As we are all here, I want to ask Gokulendra, I think we have to come to a decision about this evening's program. I think you must go to the weather forecast and see.
The forecast is bad, so we must pray.
And use some intelligence also. I think if it rains like that, let us immediately send out a missive, means a message on the Croatian website, and then say, because of bad weather, we will do the kirtan inside the temple. Yes. Or what do you think? Or do you have another?
Actually, I'm doing like this. I wait till the last moment, so sometimes Krishna makes passage. Like, all the time is bad weather, and actually, it was a lot of times like that when the warriors have a really great fish. Go out.
Gokulendra. Tukaram said, don't make God your servant. I feel we have to. I think many devotees want to come today. It's because Danuda Swami and another Swami is there, so it's really I would say there is a good web page. It's called the BBC Weather Forecast web. They are infallible. Let's go to that and find out.
Actually, we can announce if there is bad weather, then it's a problem in the temple.
I think that is safe, sorry.
Yeah.
If there is bad weather, then it's a problem in the temple, and Krishna makes some passage, there is a weather. So I will announce on.
But when is the weather good enough to do kirtan, and when is it bad enough to not do kirtan? This is a very difficult. You mean if we go in the pavilion? Sundarananda, you are intelligent. What should we do?
Yeah.
This is our temple president. We have to surrender GBC rule. Gokulananda, I see. It was the same thing was with the kirtan krug. We wanted really to do the kirtan krug outside, but we had the feeling better safe than sorry, and it was a good decision. You were at the kirtan circle. Ooh, it was full with new people.
Yes.
Gokulananda, I totally respect your enthusiasm for Sankirtan, and therefore you are the right man to do Sankirtan. And, you know, if the weather changes by 12 o'clock and it's perceivable, this looks like the monsoon has started in Croatia. You know, it really looks like that. But if by 12 o'clock there is a passage, I will surrender to you. I will personally disobey Sundarananda. Okay? So, thank you. So this means, please write in the email, in the web page, most probably we will have an exciting kirtan program with Danuda Swami and Sachinanda Swami in the temple. Watch the site at 12. At 12 o'clock, the final decision is made. I think this is how we should say. So that, because people make their plans. And they everything, you know, they give their child to their grandmother, and for some it's not so easy to come, and so on. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Śrī Gaur Nitāi ki, Gaur Prēmanandī Hari Hari Bo.
Yeah.